Salvation maybe, or a help in closing out this missions conference week. 1 Corinthians 18, now it's going to be, 1 Corinthians 12, rather, verse 18, it's going to be a while before I get to that portion of Scripture myself. So you just hang on while I have this introduction. I want to speak today on the subject of the prominent emphasis. The prominent emphasis. I always remember when I was in my youth wanting to spend my life doing the best thing I could. I didn't want to get to the end of my life and say, man, did I blow it? Wow, I put my whole life into something that wasn't important. And I hope you feel that way. And the Bible gives us the answer on what the prominent emphasis of life is. And I want to bring a message based on that thought today as we kind of finish out our missions conference. We're right in the middle of what's called Stewardship Month, where we always try to remind people of the stewardship of our time, our talents, and our treasures. That's kind of like three words that sum it all up. Your life, your time. God gives every one of us 168 hours a week. Are we doing anything eternal with that time? We want to do something eternal with that time. 168 hours. Our talents. God takes in every single person he's ever saved. If he's saved your soul, he has given you some gift. Some ministry gift found in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8, at least one out of the seven. Some of us have two or three, and some of you have that many, and you need to just find out what that gift is, get that thing settled in your heart, become qualified to use it, and find a way to use it in the body of Christ. And our treasures, that's our finances, our money. We need to be good stewards. Because ultimately God is the one that gave it all to us. Even those that work and work hard out in the world all week long, the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 that it is God that giveth us power to get wealth. There's people in this room who are disabled. They'll probably never work again. And if you are able to work, you ought to thank the Lord for it. Be a good steward of what he's given you and your treasures. Make sure you pay your bills and try to stay out of debt and be a good testimony. But also honor the Lord first in tithes and offerings. Help the poor with alms. And so we need to be good stewards of our treasures. So that's what Stewardship Month is all about. Now, what is the prominent emphasis of the ministry of Jesus Christ when he came to earth? Well, we call it the Great Commission. Now, don't look for that phrase in the Bible. It's not in there. It's just a phrase we have coined to describe something that the Lord said to us over and over and over again. He said it in the Gospel of Matthew. He said it in the Gospel of Mark and Luke and John. He said it in the book of Acts. What's called the Great Commission. And that is how he is giving a commission to every church to do their part in reaching the entire world with the gospel. What is a commission? When we say the Great Commission, what is a commission? Well, it's a military term. And a commission is a special duty that is given to a soldier or a sailor or somebody. It's a special duty that is given by a higher authority. A special duty that is given by a higher authority. That is a commission. Now, when we talk about the Great Commission, we talk about the Lord as the head of his church and the captain of our salvation, and he has given us a duty. He is a higher authority. He is the head of the church, and he has told the church that the Great Commission that I'm giving you, the special duty, is to do your part as a church to try to get the gospel out to the whole world. Now, can you imagine if every single church on earth thought that way? Thought biblically, then every church, every place, doesn't matter if it's small country churches like ours or big churches, if they all tried, we would all be overlapping each other, doing a good thing, doing a wonderful thing, trying to reach the world. In Matthew, Jesus said it this way, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There's 195 nations on earth. God, Jesus said, go to all of them. Teach them the gospel, get them baptized, and then teach them, disciple them in everything that I've ever taught. Make sure you teach them to obey. That is the Great Commission in Matthew. In Mark, it's worded this way. Go ye therefore into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature, all nations, every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so the Great Commission in Mark is to every single creature. In Luke's account, he said it this way, Luke 24:46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And so repentance and remission of sins to all nations, you are witnesses. In John's gospel, he said it this way, as thou hast sent me, he's talking to the Father, into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. 37 times Jesus addressed himself in that two-word phrase, sent me. He said, the Father sent me, sent me, sent me, sent me, sent me, sent me, sent me. On 37 different occasions, Jesus said, the Father sent me, and now I send them into all the world. That's the Great Commission in the Gospel of John. In the book of Acts, it's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we see by these five examples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, even though the wording is different in all five of them, that the prominent emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Great Commission. The Great Commission that locally we try to reach souls and all around the world. We take responsibility for that. The church is the institution that was given those marching orders. The church is the most prominent institution on the earth. There are three institutions that were ordained of God. The first was the family. In Genesis 1, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And so the first institution was the family. Is the family eternal? No. The family, marriage is until death do us part. And children are even supposed to come to the point where they leave their father and mother and cleave to their wife and cleave to their mate, their mission that God has for them in their lives, even if it means walking away from their family. Family is not the prominent institution. It's the first, but not the prominent one. And then there's the government. Genesis 9, verse 6, whoso shall kill a man, by man shall his life be taken. It establishes actually the first law of human government, and that was capital punishment. And God ordained the government, Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. That, though, is not the prominent. Governments come and go. In fact, if they last as long as ours, that's almost miraculous when it comes to human history. This representative republic that we live in since 1776 and since the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it's almost miraculous that a nation or a government would last this long. But Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church is the third institution, and it is the one that is the most prominent and the one that is the most important to God. To God. In fact, it's so important, it says he purchased the church with his own blood in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. with his own blood. Don't take the church lightly. He purchased the church. That's the body of believers that you belong to, your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Christ purchased that with his own church, with his own blood. Ephesians 5:25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how prominent it was to Christ. The church is his bride. He married the church. He didn't marry your family. He didn't marry the government. But he married the church. He purchased it with his blood. He gave his life for it. The church is the most prominent institution on earth. And it is the main emphasis of God. But in the church, what is the most prominent role? What is the most prominent emphasis to the church? Well, we already covered that. It's the Great Commission. The Great Commission that every church try to figure out how effectual, what is the most effectual way they as a local assembly can reach souls in their area and around the world. That is the prominent emphasis. And who has the prominent role in the church? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We finally got there. I want you to notice verse 18, and then we're going to notice verse number 28. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. Now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Boy, that verse is loaded. And we can't spend a lot of time on it. But notice who did it. God set the members, every one of them, in the body. That's the church. As it hath pleased him. God did it. When you are saved, it is part of God's perfect will for your life to be set in the church. Now, circle the word set in your Bible and draw a little arrow out to your margin and write down the word concrete. Concrete. The word set here is a reference to a foundation, which today would be concrete. If you go to the town of Eden or wherever you live to get a permit to build a house, the first thing they're going to tell you is that you need to dig a footer, and that footer needs to be 42 inches deep. And after you dig that footer 42 inches deep, you then fill it with concrete. And then upon that footer, you build a foundation, whether it's block or concrete walls. And that then is what we call set. That house isn't going out. You can't say later, well, I think I want it 10 feet over here. Tough. Too bad. That is set, and that's what the word set means here in verse number 28. And now hath God set the members. Any believer in Christ who is outside of church, not attending church, not involved, is not right with God. Now, they might be right with God in some areas, but not all areas, because it's God's will that every one of them, underline that those words, every one of them, that means you. If you're saved, God wants you to be set in a local church like concrete. Now, if this is not the church for you, you need to find, probably with speed, a good Bible-believing and preaching and practicing church that's trying to emphasize what Christ, the head of the church, emphasizes, and that is the Great Commission. Christ never emphasized worship and praise. Never. And yet there are churches all over the place today where it seems like the main emphasis is worship and praise and music. I've met people like that who have tried our church out and didn't like our church because they're looking more for a church with more music, more worship, more praise. Now, I'm all for worshiping God. I'm all for praising God, and I love music. But that is not the great commission of the head of the church, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and God wants the church to spread the gospel out all over the world, and we can sing forever in heaven. We can worship forever in heaven. We can praise forever in heaven. But we only have a few days left to try to reach some more souls for Jesus Christ and send some more missionaries. Everyone, now notice this phrase, as it hath pleased him. Would you like to please God? That's why we were made, right? Revelation 4, verse 11 says everything he made was for his pleasure. You and I were made for his pleasure. Now, I know we think we exist for our own pleasure. Like the missionary Matt Gerber said when he was preaching, he says there's two great idols in America today, entertainment and comfort. Those are the two great idols of America. Entertain me and comfort me. And God, if you want anything out of me, you make sure it's in my comfort zone. And that's not going to get the job done. That's self, that's pleasing ourselves. But you and I exist to please God. And this verse tells us one way to please God. One way to please God is to find the church he wants you to be in and get set in that church like concrete. Be immovable. Be pillars in the church. Every one of them. But now notice a different word in verse 28. Notice a different word in verse 28. And God hath set. Now there's that word concrete again. But it's followed not by every one of them, but notice now by the word some. Not everyone, but some, what? In the church, first apostles. You see that? Very important that you see that. Because if you're going to try to be a part of this church and figure out what is our emphasis, this is a Bible church you're in. And so what we try to do is we try to dig into the Bible and we try to find out what does God put a prominence on? What does God put a preeminence on? And that's what we want. And what is it according to that verse? He has set some, not everyone, but some in the church, first apostles. If you go home and get your concordance out, look up the word first, that refers to the most prominent role, the most preeminent role, the highest role of honor, the most honorable. And it's the word apostles. The word apostles. Now, the word apostles is an old Bible word we don't use anymore. But it comes from a Greek word which means one sent forth. For some reason, I don't know where it changed along these hundreds and hundreds of years in the church, but we now call them missionaries. We now call them missionaries, not apostles. Maybe it's because we're afraid of the confusion of the apostolic dispensation. And I realize there was about 100 years of an apostolic dispensation where God was doing. They didn't have the New Testament written, and so to confirm the word, God was doing signs and miracles and wonders and healings and tongues and all kinds of divine revelations to confirm the word, it says, with signs following. But we now have the completed word. We now have the New Testament. We're not in the apostolic age anymore. As I preach the word, or Brother Schindler preaches the word, or whoever's preaching or teaching the word in a Sunday school class, it's now the Holy Spirit that confirms the word as we're reading it from the pages of the Bible. And that can happen to you at home. You can read your Bible at home and the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And I've been saved for 47 years now, and God has been confirming his word, and he's never used tongues, he's never used miracles, he's never used healings. It's just been the Holy Spirit, who's taught me the things that I know. So we're confused, or we're scared maybe to use that word apostles today. So we use the word missionaries. They are synonymous. An apostle is a missionary. A missionary is an apostle. And there's not just the 12 apostles, because here he says to this Gentile church at Corinth, and God hath set some in the church first apostles. First apostles, first missionaries. We've gotten, that's why we have so much emphasis around here on missions, because God does. Because God does, and it's his church, not mine. And I want to emphasize what he emphasizes. Pastor Seth wants to emphasize what God emphasizes. First, apostles. Did you know Jesus was an apostle? Turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He was an apostle, capital A, if you got the right Bible, capital A. What does that mean? That means Jesus left his home in heaven, came to our home on earth to deliver a message that we could be saved. It's called the gospel. And that's what an apostle does. An apostle is one who is sent forth. As I said earlier, Jesus described himself with the word sent me 37 times in the New Testament. 37 different times he said, the Father sent me, sent me, sent me, sent me, sent me, sent me. Jesus didn't just hang out in heaven for a while and said, I think I'll go down to earth. No, the Father said, I want you to go down the earth. I want you to die for their sins, shed your blood to wash away their sins, be buried, rise from the grave, and tell them, I want to save every one of them. Go tell them. Whether they listen or not. John 1:11, he came unto his own received him not. John 1:12, but as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Whether they hear you or not, just go and tell them. Jesus was an apostle. Did you know the 12 were apostles? Turn to Luke chapter 6, or I'll read this. Luke chapter number 6. The 12 were apostles, but there were others. And notice it says these words. It says he prayed all night one night in verse 12. Luke 6, verse 12. Came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, notice the wording here, he called unto him his disciples. He called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. He had a whole bunch of disciples. One verse tells us he sent out 70 other men, two and two. He had all kinds of disciples, and of them. Now notice, what did we say earlier? Every one of us is supposed to be set in the church, but some are apostles. 1 Corinthians 12:29, it asks us the rhetorical question, are all apostles? Well, the answer is no. Some are apostles. And I believe it's God's will that every single church that exists anywhere on the earth, it's God's will to reach down into that congregation at times and separate some people from that congregation to go forth and preach the gospel. Like Chris Barron, Justin Dye, we had a lady Monique Lindsay, we had a young man, Jeff Day, who left our congregation, went and prepared and became missionaries. Jimmy White, was in Africa, and Nick Malucci, who was in Bulgaria. They used to be in this church for a little while. And that's what God does. He doesn't send us all out, but he reaches down into every local church and finds some. I was telling the chapel this morning, God, one of these days, God's going to say to somebody in our congregation that they need to go forth. And he's going to lay on their hearts. I listen to these missionaries tell about their call and their burden. I don't understand it. I've never had that. But they actually hear God say to them, I want you to go to Mexico. I want you to go to Ecuador. I want you to go to Liberia. I want you to work with the deaf on five different continents. And I want you to go to southern India. And that's foreign to me because God has never called me to do that. But it's real to them. That's what God does. He reaches down into our churches and calls people to be apostles, people to be missionaries. And we see that he made 12 of them apostles. So notice, the prominent institution on earth is the church. It's not the public school in your town. That's what's becoming prominent. It's not the college or university. It's not the military. You know, some people, oh, this is a military town, or this is a college town. No, we as Christians, our church should revolve around the church. Our life should revolve around the church. And the mission of the church, that was the prominent institution. And who has the prominent role in the church? What have we learned? The missionaries. First apostles. first. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Trying to teach some things here. Just so we're right on the right page. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Again, he's talking to a bunch of Gentiles, a Gentile church at Ephesus, and he gave some what? Apostles. He gave some apostles. Turn to Revelation 21. I want to just try to, I'm just trying to show you how important missionaries and missions is to God. Notice Revelation 21, verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation, and in them the names of the 12 what? Apostles of the Lamb. Do you see how prominent that is? Do you realize our final address is going to be this New Jerusalem? The city four square, 1,500 miles wide and long and 1,500 miles high. It's like a cube. That thing's huge. It has 12 foundations. And the Bible says there's going to be names on those 12 foundations. And they're going to be there a million years from now. They're going to be there a billion years from now. They're going to be there a trillion years from now. A trillion years from now, when we see the New Jerusalem and see the outside of it, we're going to see the names of the 12 what? Apostles. Missionaries. Missionaries. Does that sound prominent? Are we getting the point this morning? Does that sound prominent? It sounds prominent to me. It's not going to be NFL players on there. It's not going to be hockey players on there. It's not going to be NASCAR drivers on there. It's not going to be baseball players on there. It's not going to be rock singers on there or country singers. It's not going to be dancers or musicians or anything. And we're going to forget about all that stuff. There'll be no remembrance of those things in Isaiah 65, it tells us. Not in the new heavens and the new earth. But brethren, forever, we're going to look at the name Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, all the way up. And if anyone says, who are they? They were the missionaries. They were the missionaries. They were the missionaries. Those were the ones who went forth for his name's sake. Sounds prominent to me. Sounds important to me. Now the gates are going to have the names of the 12 tribes down here. But going up, it's going to be the missionaries. That's what the Bible says. Turn to 3 John. It's just right in front of Revelation. 3 John. You're doing good. 3 Some preachers say, I'm not going to preach long today or tonight. I never say that. I'm not supposed to lie. I know we have baptisms, but I got a few more important things to share here. This was our theme verse for this week. 3 John verse 7. It says, because that for his name's sake they went forth. You ask these missionaries. None of these missionaries that we have had in this week, the Bronx, the Bradleys, the Russells, the Gerbers, the Crabtrees, we don't support any of them. Okay, we can't right now. We don't have the money, but we hope that we will have the money to support. I think they were good people. Man, I think we just had the greatest missions conference we've ever had. I probably say that every year, but man, that was great. Wow, I didn't want it to end. That was fantastic. These are special people. I mean, you had to get that spirit if you were here. If you still got a pulse and you were here in life, you have to say these are special people. These are, and they are, biblically, they're special people. And it says that for his name's sake they went forth. Now notice verse 7, taking nothing of the Gentiles. That means the heathen. They didn't take any money from the heathen. They didn't take any support from the unsaved. But what are we supposed to do? Verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such. In other words, receive them. Don't say, it's missions week. I ain't going to that. I've seen enough missionaries. Some people are like that. I feel sorry for you. You're not going to have any rewards in heaven in that realm. The Bible says if I send a prophet and you receive a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. If I send a righteous man, you receive a righteous man in the name of right. You receive a righteous man's reward. If I send a little disciple and you give him a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, I promise you, you'll never, ever lose your reward. That's what Jesus said. We got to watch our attitude. Watch our attitude when missionaries come around. And I think those that came did a good job receiving them. They felt so at home here. They felt blessed here. They really did. This was a good week for them too. Very good week for them. And it says we ought to receive such. We ought to receive. These are the most important people. These people mean so much more to God than the entire National Football League, and they can flush that whole thing down the toilet as far as I'm concerned. So sick of those people. They disgust me. Snowflake millionaires. These are the people that are important to God. These are the people that are important to God, right here. And then it says this, that we may be fellow helpers to the truth. Receive them. Be fellow helpers. That word fellow, whenever it's combined as a prefix, it's referring to friendship, companionship. We ought to be fellow helpers. I said to all of them before they left, by God's grace, we're going to help you. By God's grace, I don't know how, but we're going to raise the money to help you people get to the mission field. Brother Schindler, by the way, I'll just stick this in there. Turn to Philippians finally, Philippians chapter 4. Brother Schindler came up to me and said, Brother Cole, he says, I'm 79 years old. So I'm not going to do this much longer. You send your support to someone else. Because I want to support him as an evangelist. I said, you find some of these young people, support them. I appreciated his spirit. He says, I'm getting old. He says, I can't go to the mission field anymore. You just help some of his other people. He said that in private. I don't know if I should have shared that with you, but that blessed my heart. Now, in closing, the book of Philippians, Philippi was in a region called Macedonia. Macedonia was a big region, maybe the size of Georgia. I don't know. There's a lady down here at a 3-star restaurant from Macedonia. She was talking to my wife and I the other day, went out for lunch. We don't know a word she said, but boy, she just thought we were getting it, and we were smiling, nodding, and once in a while there'd be an English word in there. I fell for her, but Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, don't turn there, was all about Paul's compliments of the Macedonian churches and how they made their yearly commitment to giving to the poor and the spreading of the gospel, and how their commitments increased. And he used them as a role model. Some of the great churches in Macedonia included Berea, Thessalonica, and Philippi. And here Paul writes back to Philippi, one of those great churches, and he says in verse 15, chapter 4, Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, when I departed from your region, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. In other words, I came there, I planted the church in Philippi, then I went on to Thessalonica, I planted the church in Thessalonica, then I went on. And when I left Philippi, you didn't forget about me. You kept sending to me once and again. Once and again, you kept. And this is where we get the idea of mission support from. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. And he says, not that I desire a gift. I am not in this for the money. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now let me give you this outline I give every year about faith, promise, missions, giving. Though some of you have never heard of such a thing in your life. It probably sounds like a scheme to you or something, or I don't know what you think. There's no place for your name. No one's going to call you. It's between you and God. It's a commitment, just like we make commitments to buying a house for 30 years or a car for 6 years. It's crazy. But they gave yearly, and then the next year they were ahead. the Apostle Paul said, you ought to be ahead. And it's amazing how God does that. But anyway, I can't really give personal example. I really like to right here of what a blessing it's been to so many people. But notice when you give to missions, four things. Number one, it will be a blessing to you in eternity. Number one, it will be a blessing to you in eternity. Do you believe in heaven? I do. He said, verse 17, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. God's keeping the record in heaven. We're not saved by good works. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But we're saved to do good works. And as we have seen biblically today, the greatest, most prominent emphasis any human being can ever live for is the spreading of the gospel. Now, maybe one of you will find the cure for cancer. That doesn't match the spreading of the gospel. That'd be a wonderful thing if man didn't have to suffer with cancer anymore, but he's still going to die and face the judge someday. But when he's saved and believes the gospel, he's saved forever and has eternal life. That's the most prominent emphasis any human being can ever discover in their life to live for, spreading the gospel. And it'll be a blessing to you and your account in heaven. God's keeping the records. God's keeping the records. If you can't give a cup of cold water, he said, Matthew 10, verse 42, and not lose your reward. What about giving to missions? Number two is the blessing to the missionary. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. What a blessing to the missionary. Look at these missionaries that come back on furlough. They're constantly saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us. Thank you for your money. Thank you for your prayers. And then they tell us what they're doing. And we see things on the screen that are like, wow, we're doing that? It's wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful what they're accomplishing around the world. 120 right now missionaries or missionary endeavors we support as a church in prayer and financially. And then it's a blessing to God. Number three, verse 18. Giving to missions is a blessing to God. It says, which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. Now, in the beginning of the sermon, we learned that being set like concrete in a local church is one way to please God. Here's another way to please God, and that is to give to help his dearest servants go around the world and tell people the story of his son, Jesus Christ, to those that have never heard. And then number four, it'll be a blessing to you in this life. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You're not going to outgive God. You're not going to outgive the Lord. You're not. I'm telling you. And many of you that have tried faith promise missions, I'm going to try to say this discreetly, I hope. When we started out with Faith Promise Missions 35 years ago, I think we put $2 a week on the card. I'm talking about my wife and I. $2. This year we'll give over $7,000 to missions. My wife and I, over and above our tithe. Over and above the tithe. Over and above the tithe. The tithe is the first 10% of our gross income. God gets that automatically. And then the faith promise. How do we go from $2 a week to over $7,000 a year to faith promise? How do we get there? You cannot outgive the Lord. He said in his word in black and white, a God that cannot lie said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And every year, my wife and I get to the end of the year, and we don't even miss it. We could keep that money, and every 4 years, we could buy a brand new car. But that's going to rust. And Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Besides all that, you come to our driveway tomorrow and you'll see three brand new cars sitting there all paid for. How did we go from $2 to that? And some of you, and there's a bunch of people in this church that outgive us. But they got started one day. And Faith Promise Missions Giving. And I want to encourage you young people, if I could have started this when I was a teenager, I wonder where I'd be now. Or in my 20s. First 10 years of our church, we gave $100,000 to missions. Since then, we've given $100,000 every year, about $2.5 million. Is our church lacking? Is Brightway Baptist lacking down in Cattaraugus? Evans Chapel lacking? Did you ever look out here at our bank accounts? We're not lacking around here. Why? You cannot outgive the Lord. And I want to challenge you this month to fill out a Faith Promise Missions Giver. There's no place I'm not going to look at. I don't see the finances around here. I don't deposit the money. I can't sign a check in this church. I could if I wanted to, but I'm not going to push it. I don't see who gives what. But man, some of you young people, put something down there and you, by faith, and you, teens and seniors on fixed incomes, whatever, just see what God will do. It is funny. It is humorous. I just wonder what the Lord's going to do this year. I don't know. It's just, that's why I call it an adventure in faith. I am having such an adventure. My wife and I are having such an adventure in faith. There's no other way to live. It is really neat. It is fun. It is cool. Shall we bow for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us, Lord. I took a long time today, Lord, but I just wanted to make the whole emphasis clear that the church is the prominent institution on earth. Inside the church, the missionaries are the prominent role. They have the highest position. And we that are not sent to go are called to be fellow helpers of the truth. They take nothing of the Gentiles. And Lord, you said if we would give, you'd keep an account for heaven. It'd be a blessing to the missionary. It's a blessing to you. It's a sweet-smelling savor to thee. And you'd meet all of our needs in this life. You'd meet all of our needs in this life. I know that's true. Many in this room know it's true. Lord, touch hearts. Touch hearts to start giving something by faith to spreading the gospel around the world. And I know you'll bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.